This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. In a new court filing today, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton tells the state's high court that fertility risks don't qualify as a life-threatening condition that would allow a patient to get an abortion under Texas laws. Paxton's filing coming after a Texas court put on hold a lower court ruling that would have allowed Kate Cox to enter pregnancy. Doctors say her 20-week-old fetus has a fatal diagnosis. More than 50 million people in the Northeast under a flood watch as extremely heavy rain moves into the Northeast this evening and overnight tonight. The same storm spawned tornadoes in the South that are being blamed for deaths of at least six people. Nashville Mayor Freddie O'Connell.
Yesterday was unfortunately another heartbreaking day for Nashville and so many in our Middle Tennessee community.
Officials say 62 people were treated for injuries at three area hospitals, including nine who were in critical condition. The damage is being called catastrophic. This is ABC News. A wind-driven brush fire charred more than 2,000 acres in California's Ventura County Saturday, prompting evacuation orders for some residents as firefighters raced to stop the spread. In Oslo, Norway, it was a ceremony honoring the recipient of this year's Nobel Peace Prize, imprisoned Iranian activist Narges Mohammadi. Her teenage children accepting the award on her behalf, an empty chair and large photo of their mother at center stage. Nobel Committee Chair Berit Riis-Anderson handing out that prize.
The Nobel Peace Prize for 2023 goes to Narges Mohammadi for her courageous fight for freedom and human rights over three decades, and for taking leadership when a wave of protests swept over Iran.
The rest of the Nobel Prize is announced earlier in the year, handed out in separate ceremonies in Stockholm. A wind-driven brush fire charring more than 2,000 acres in California's Ventura County Saturday. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at CivicMedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. There's a lawsuit challenging Wisconsin's near-total ban on collective bargaining for most public workers. Some say the outcome could help Wisconsin's beleaguered education workforce. Mike Moen has more.
Act 10 has been in place for a dozen years and was a major priority for conservative lawmakers. The latest lawsuit comes as Wisconsin, like other states, grapples with teacher shortages. Maddie Toff is a graduate assistant at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, who says restoring these rights could make the state an attractive place for future educators and researchers.
Having really strong education through academia as well as in public schools is really important for training the next generation, but also recruiting people.
Toff is with the Teaching Assistants Association, a union that is among the plaintiffs in the case. The controversial law has been able to stay in place despite past efforts to have it thrown out. The state's teacher turnover rate has climbed from 8% in 2010 to more than 15% in the last school year. Tuff says at the graduate student level, she and her peers are very passionate about what they're studying. She feels not having the right to bargain for extra support erodes at their enthusiasm to carry out a public mission.
We have people who have to live with many roommates or don't have enough money to get groceries.
She says at UW-Madison, her union is in the midst of a major campaign citing the need for paid leave benefits. As for the lawsuit, it was filed after the Wisconsin Supreme Court flipped to a liberal majority. But legal analysts say it could take some time for it to reach the high court and there's the possibility the newest liberal justice would recuse herself from the case. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Lows level off around 12 tonight under overcast skies. Southwest winds around 5 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 33. A few flurries possible at times tomorrow night. Lows level off around 16. Overcast skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 22.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
From Television City in Hollywood.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days. And you knew when you were there.
Dance for girls and men, women. Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again. Didn't need no welfare state.
Everybody pulled his weight.
G-R-O-S, now red, great. Those were the days.
Across Wisconsin, on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. That, of course, the incomparable opening of the great hit, All in the Family, created, executive produced by the great Norman Lear, who passed away today at the age of 101. Welcome back into hour number two of the big show. It is 7 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock across Wisconsin on this Wednesday, December 6th. Glad to have you along. And when I heard the news this morning, I was watching CBS Mornings, as I normally do with Gail King and all the rest, and broke the news, and of course, online as well. And it was a mixture of just satisfaction at knowing a life well-lived, impacted, but a loss of a great human being and someone who touched my life over the years and also, I believe, touched American culture. I reached out because there's nobody that I wanted more to talk about this with than Wisconsin native, grew up in Burlington, Wisconsin, is an alum of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. As a matter of fact, he puts Badger in his X or Twitter name. It is Kelly Call, who went on to great things out in Los Angeles, was the longtime president of CBS Entertainment, and joins us now live from California. Also, one of the former vice presidents of CBS, great author, great writer, Jim McCarron's, who wrote a great piece earlier this fall in USA Today called 50 Years Later, a look back at the best of prime times lineup in the history of television, and ironically is going to be lecturing this afternoon on Norman Lear. Gentlemen, thank you so much for taking the time. Kelly, first of all, so great to have a former, or a still a Wisconsin guy, but a longtime Wisconsinite flying the Badger flag proudly in California. Such an iconic role at CBS all those years, where certainly Norman Lear made his print.
Well, Todd, I mean, one of the, you know, I think maybe on my first day at CBS, you're struck by Norman Lear's impact. You walk down the halls and there are pictures of CBS shows from the past. And so many of them are just, you know, iconic, you know, Norman Lear productions that, you know, not only had, you know, huge audiences, but just, you know, really, I think, raised the level of television to a place that it never was before. It went to topics of politics, race, religion, sexuality in ways shows hadn't gone there before. It was a lot of Leave It to Beaver before that. It was it was a lot of Green Acres and
nothing wrong with those shows, right? But
Green Acres. These shows raised the bar for not just CBS but television in general. If I may, I learned that all the networks tonight at 8 o'clock are going to do a 15-second, we would call it a card or a little graphic, but a little tribute to Norman Lear.
Wow.
To be honest, I don't recall, them doing that for anybody really in history, in terms of television producers or television executives. So that's kind of unprecedented and a very classy move by all the networks.
It certainly is. Jim McCarrons, we appreciate you joining us via phone today from California. And Jim, you've literally written the books and knew Norman Lear. Give us a little bit of a look into the window. What was it like to know Norman Lear, to talk with him? And what's your takeaway on this bittersweet day of the passing of Norman Lear at 101?
Well, certainly as expected, but nonetheless, very sad. I found myself sadder than I thought I would be. It's not about me. It's certainly about Norman and his legacy, and certainly about Norman and his family. But in prepping for this conversation, I looked him up on the Bible that I check on all the time, what I read, which is IMDb. Mm. And you saw the birth date and the death date for the first time, and that was a bit much. Yeah. I saw Norman as recently. We didn't hang out. But he was part of my life for the past 32 years, and he was the reason that I got the job in the first place at CBS. And I stayed in touch, and I've seen him through the years, not a lot. I saw him most recently in June of this year, and while his vision and hearing were failing, like would be expected with somebody 4 weeks away from turning 101, he was so in touch with what was going on, not just in the world, and that shouldn't be something to brag about because he's alive and he has a brain, but he was so in touch with current events and with what's going on in TV that it was remarkable just to sit there and hear his opinions about not just about 50 years ago, but about last year and about last night.
We played this on the show not that long ago. I follow him on X, former Twitter, and he posted not so long ago on a great comment on politics and saying, look, I'm a proud progressive, somebody who supported Democratic candidates. But he said, back in the day, I knew Ronald Reagan. I knew Nancy Reagan. I went out to dinner with them. There was a cordiality. You could agree without being disagreeable. It seems like Norman Lear, in all of his dealings, liked to find the best in people and find ways to be pragmatic.
Seemingly, yes. And keep in mind, what he wrote about in his autobiography called Even This I Get to Experience, which came out in 2014. Mm. This is a man who got his scholarship to Emerson in Boston based on a high school senior theme paper he wrote, a contest he joined or entered, called and his theme was Why I Love the Constitution. And that certainly informed his politics even before All in the Family. It informed the 1960s when he was involved in film and television. And then came to involve the 1970s when he was at his heyday in television and prime time, then with his establishment of the People for the American Way in the 1980s, and beyond that, buying a copy of the Constitution, of the Declaration of Independence, and then creating a Declaration of Independence tour that went around the country about 20 years ago, I believe. And then finally, there's the Norman Lear Center here in Los Angeles that tackles all matter of media and how it relates to culture and politics and us. That is very much Norman outside of the role of All in the Family. And by the way, what's funny about that theme song that you began with, I listened to it when I listened to it, which is considerably often. Mm. Kelly won't be surprised about that. The funny part is how they needed to insert a laugh track when Edith, played by Jean Stapleton, for when Edith sang so that people would know that it was deliberately funny and not that she was strangling a cat or something. That's a first for TV. I mean, among the many firsts that All in the Family and Norman Lear presented, that was a first to have a laugh track over the opening credits.
We are talking with Jim McCarron's former vice president of CBS, a writer and lecturer as well as Kelly Call, a UW-Madison alum and former president of CBS Entertainment. Jim, you wrote this great article back in October of this year called 50 Years Later, Look Back at the Best Primetime Lineup of the History of Television. You go back to that 73-74 season on Saturday nights. Wow. All in the Family, the Mary Tyler Moore Show, the Bob Newhart Show, and then it ended up being MASH. And it all kind of centered around All in the Family. Talk to us about that and just the imprint, the impact, again, that Norman Lear made on television as a whole.
I'll distill the version of the story that's worthy of a longer story. But the year before that, CBS had introduced a show called Bridget Loves Bernie, which, believe it or not, and it sounds very cute in the year 2023, was about an interfaith marriage. It was incredibly controversial. CBS ended up canceling it at the end of the year. It was the highest rated new show ever canceled. Yeah, I think it was fifth in the top 10. It placed at number 5 because of all the controversy about a Jew marrying a Catholic and making light of it in a sitcom. Mm-hmm. And Bridget was played by actress Meredith Baxter, who later in an interview years later talked about, among other things, there were bomb threats at CBS because of the show. But when CBS found itself with a hole at 8:30 after its number one show, All in the Family, at 8 o'clock on Saturday nights, they chose to put MASH there. A first year show had come out of that same Bridget Loves Bernie season. And it was not very highly rated, believe it or not. It was actually on the verge of cancellation. And it was well regarded and critics loved it. CBS loved it, so they placed it in there and thus created what is considered to this day, even by non-nerds, although certainly by us nerds, by me, the greatest lineup in TV history. And only one of them was a Norman Lear show, but it was so popular that it created that night, and the night is now, in memory anyway, is anchored around the success of that show leading it off at 8 o'clock.
Kelly, you as former president of CBS for a long time presided over that network being number one for years. You helped create shows like Survivor and put them on the air, The Big Bang Theory, amongst others. Would those shows have been able, the success of that, been possible without the groundwork at CBS of Norman Lear, like All in the Family, Maude, Good Times, The Jeffersons, so on and so forth?
Well, I think TV evolves, and I think the greatest tribute to Norman is, I think I said early on, it's like he tackled topics that nobody had tackled to that point. And ironically, 50 years later, most TV shows won't go back to those places.
Right.
He said things, he tackled issues that TV, quite frankly, even now would be afraid to tackle or revisit because kind of the social media climate right now. Everybody, shows might be willing to take a stand, but then, everybody is kind of risk adverse and probably would cower over the potential backlash that they would find themselves in. So to me, that's the, fascinating part of his legacy. He not only went to places that no one had gone before, but networks now are really, other than maybe some streaming services, are afraid to revisit.
About 30 seconds before a break, we'll come back after it. But Kelly, did you have people still pitching you shows that cutting edge to be on CBS a couple, 3 years ago? Or is that just not done anymore?
I don't think anybody really comes in pitching controversy. While All in the Family certainly kind of started with a controversial figure, I think, his success and dominance on the airwaves really allowed him to kind of even the have to tackle some of these topics.
More on Norman Lear, the passing of him and his legacy with Kelly Call, and also...
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10. On the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
To the Todd Lovell Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 20 now past the hour of 1 o'clock, a special edition as we look back at the life, legacy, and memory of the great Norman Lear, who passed away this morning at the age of 101. Our sympathies and condolences going out to his family today and friends as well. One of the people that knew him very well, Jim McCarron's, who is a former vice president of CBS, joins us live via phone from Los Angeles. And also Kelly Call, former president of CBS Entertainment, joins us via StreamYard. Gentlemen, we thank you both for being here. Kelly, I didn't mean to cut you off there before I had to go pay a couple of bills. But again, someone who, you know, saw everything come in. I mean, you were the person who gave the green light to new shows at CBS for a long, long time and kept it number one. Did you ever, I guess, at what point did shows stop being that cutting edge? You said nobody pitches controversy. Is that something that stopped in the 70s, you know, after Norman Lear quit pitching new shows? Or when did it change?
Well, I think part of it was, you know, simply execution. It's Norman Lear was able to tackle these subjects and execute on a high level so that the shows were still, while maybe would infuse a little bit of a lesson in there or some commentary, they were also entertaining. And that's a real high wire act. So I think, you know, part of it is it's just, yeah, nobody pitches controversy, but also nobody can execute that necessarily so well. So I think, you know, part of it, and I do think it continues, especially on the live sitcom front to this day, we've lost a lot of the practitioners. You know, certainly Chuck Lorre executed that on a high level with Big Bang Theory and Two and a Half Men. But I think it's becoming a little bit of a lost art.
Jim, what's your take on this? Again, as someone who knew Norman Lear, who has studied and who is literally lecturing on him to a younger generation, I guess, what do you pass on to the students you work with, the people that you want them to take away from Norman Lear? Because to Kelly's point, you know, I'm 54. You know, I grew up in the 70s and 80s. Some of these shows were first run. Some of them were, you know, I come home from school and watch, you know, the Jeffersons or Maude or what have. And it taught me a lesson. Maybe I didn't realize it at the time, but as a kid who grew up in a town of 5,000 people in 99% white Wisconsin, to see shows about black people, to see shows like Chico and the Man about Hispanic people, you know, Fred Sanford, you know, I mean, it exposed me, maybe just through television, maybe in fiction, but it made me appreciate a different point of view.
That's actually the approach I try to take. I don't know if I'm always successful. I do know that, to Kelly's point, most of my intention talking about Norman Lear is talking about TV shows that are funny. And there's no show that he did, controversy or not, that wasn't funny first. Let it be said, by the way, that 50 years ago, he did a two-part episode of Maude about abortion. Mm-hmm. And for the record, also to Kelly's point, in the early 2000s, it was a movie of the week, so certainly not a sitcom, but a movie of the week that we did at CBS had trouble with dialogue mentioning the word, not pro, con, or anything, to my knowledge. It was just the mention of the word, and that had to be removed from the script. So this was 1972 that he offered this. So, but it was in the guise of a sitcom, believe it or not, and he did try to make things funny first. Certainly the issue, not, but the Maude situation, Maude's family, Maude's reaction, Maude's husband, the conversations, he made them funny. So I try to teach them that, and I try to introduce them to the fact that television, you know, is older than last night. There's a history to it, and introduce them to, if I ask them to recalibrate their brains, I guess they try, but I try to introduce them to a time when this was revolutionary to talk about the fifth episode of All in the Family in 1971 to feature a commentary about gay characters, mm-hmm. and other matters that followed of an adult nature, you know, sex, politics, poverty, religion, faith, rape, sexual assault of all kinds was covered on that show. So I guess I'm going on here. I don't know if I'm answering the question, but I do try to present them the fact that TV, before they know it, mattered. And in this case, controversy could air on television because it was about comedy first.
Jim McCarron's former vice president of CBS, a great writer who knew Norman Lear, and talking about Norman Lear's passing today at 101. To your point, Jim, you know, I still, you know, have younger friends, you know, people in their 20s and whatnot. I know my godsons are 24 and 26. They'll watch reruns of Seinfeld from the 90s. And there are even jokes there. And they're like, ooh, you know, I don't know, Padrino Todd, you know, Godfather Todd. Well, yeah, I'm not sure about that. Do you ever get that reaction from students going back to some of the work of the 70s and 80s? Can they take away the fact that at that time, laughter taught us a lesson about racism and these other things?
They don't go back to my students really, and again, it's a small sample, but my students really didn't go back before 2000. They kind of stop at The Office. They do know about Friends and Seinfeld. They do take issue with some of the content. So it's impossible to try to explain why it is this was funny. At most, and I learned this early on, if I showed All in the Family, and it's discouraging for those of us, you, me, Kelly, and you, me, and Kellys of the world who grew up laughing at it, or at least came to laugh at it as we got older, or both. It's discouraging that they don't find it funny at all. So they look at Archie Bunker, and I surrendered this after the first screening in class. They look at Archie Bunker as Homer Simpson.
Yeah.
And they laugh at him for being a bumbling person, and that sort of excuses his bigotry. But when you show them the Sammy Davis Jr. episode of All in the Family, they know why the show worked. They know why it's funny. That show could have run this morning, and they would have appreciated it. That they laugh at.
I'm sorry, Jim. No. You know, I came across, I think it was on MeTV or something the other night. I was flipping through, and I came by an episode of All in the Family, clicked on it, and, you know, it's 50 years later. I was laughing within 30 seconds.
Exactly.
Now I you know, had a history with the show. I would watch with my parents. So, I guess maybe I come from a different era, but, you know, I think what Jim was saying earlier, funny is funny, and it may have a different context now a little bit, but real genius in what this guy was doing.
Gentlemen, the time always goes too fast. I want to give you each 1 minute to your reflections on Norman Lear. What's your takeaway today? Kelly, 1 minute first, and then Jim.
I'm going to give Jim more time. I'm just going to say it's, I think you can mark television time before and after Norman Lear. And there are certain points in TV history that just push the genre forward. And Norman Lear was certainly a pioneer in doing that.
Jim, your reflections today, the takeaway on the passing of Norman Lear.
Kelly and I are in complete agreement about that. I think if there's a VC and AD to television, smack in the middle is Norman Lear, January 12, 1971, when that show got on the air. I think people should read his book, understand what it was like to be a part of television in 1950 when he first arrived, or 49, when he first arrived in Los Angeles, and then take a look at what it took for him to get All in the Family on the air, which took 3 pilots, and then take a look at what he did once that show was successful and he could build on that. And they would see the length and breadth of a 100-year career, for which, by the way, Norman Lear still has 6 shows in various stages of production today.
Wow.
So they could take a long lesson from that and what makes a success and how you can contribute to this thing called television, which can inform, entertain, and sort of make us all grow up a little bit.
Jim McCarron's former vice president of CBS, and Kelly Call, former president of CBS Entertainment. We appreciate you both on this important day. Thank you so much for taking the time. And a shout out to Kelly for keeping Blue Bloods on the air for me for so long. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Thank you very much. I'm back with your reflections. Don't go anywhere on the Todd O'Ball Show and Civic Media.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. In a new court filing today, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton tells the state's high court that fertility risks don't qualify as a life-threatening condition that would allow a patient to get an abortion under Texas laws. Paxton's filing coming after a Texas court put on hold a lower court ruling that would have allowed Kate Cox to enter pregnancy. Doctors say her 20-week-old fetus has a fatal diagnosis. More than 50 million people in the Northeast under a flood watch as extremely heavy rain moves into the Northeast this evening and overnight tonight. The same storm spawned tornadoes in the South that are being blamed for deaths of at least six people. Nashville Mayor Freddie O'Connell.
Yesterday was unfortunately another heartbreaking day for Nashville and so many in our Middle Tennessee community.
Officials say 62 people were treated for injuries at three area hospitals, including nine who were in critical condition. The damage is being called catastrophic. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Badgers headed to the Final Four. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. For the sixth time in the program's history, the Wisconsin Badgers women's volleyball team is headed to the NCAA semifinals. Now, Wisconsin's going to face Texas this Thursday in Tampa, where the games will be held. This comes after they got past Oregon 4-1. After the win, head coach Kelly Sheffield on the emergence of Sarah Franklin, who led the team with 18 kills.
She has worked really hard on her game. There's just not too many people right now that are playing at the level with the confidence that she's playing in. All of that has come with a lot of work behind it.
NFL, the Packers are in New York on Monday Night Football against the Giants. Green Bay has now won four of their last five games. Just how good can they get? Tucker Kraft.
We don't know yet. You know, it's I can't tell you what our ceiling is. I can only tell you that we got a long way to go still.
That's Packers rookie tight end Tucker Kraft. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Lows level off around 12 tonight under overcast skies. Southwest winds around 5 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 33. A few flurries possible at times. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 16. Overcast skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 22.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Lady Godiva was a freedom rider. She didn't care if the whole world looked. Joan of Arc with the Lord to guide her. She was a sister who really cooked. Isadora was the first bra burner. Ain't you glad she showed up? Oh!
country was falling apart. Betsy Ross got it all sewed up.
And then there's Maud.
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 And then
that uncompromising, enterprising, anything but tranquilizing.
Right on, Maud.
Welcome back to the Title Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 35 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock, 6 minutes, December 6, 2023, on a Wednesday, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers. That is the unforgettable theme song to the great CBS television series Maud, starring the late, great Bea Arthur, created, executive produced by now the late and always great Norman Lear, who passed away today at 101. Mr. Zommers, a special thanks to Wisconsin native Kelly Call, who is a graduate of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He is a proud Badger. And also Jim McCarron's, the former vice president of CBS. Kelly Call, of course, former president of CBS Entertainment. I can't think of two better people to have on to talk about Norman Lear today than those two.
Absolutely. I have to agree. And it was awesome to just sit here and be able to hear your conversation with them.
Mm. And again, you know, Kelly in particular, you know, I kind of had a relationship via, he's from Wisconsin, grew up in Burlington and came into a coffee shop I had. And that's kind of how we struck up a relationship of sorts, I guess, is talking, you know, a little bit online, back and forth, texting each other. And he's just the nicest, coolest person in the world, just a regular Wisconsin guy. And he was the one that put Survivor on the air. He's the one that put Big Bang. I mean, some of the biggest hits on CBS, one of the most powerful people in Hollywood, a Wisconsin kid, and still humble, gracious. And when I reached out to him this morning on very short notice, he couldn't have been nicer. And actually, he was the one that put me in touch with Jim McCarron's. And he did not have to do that. And I think it just shows that you can take the person out of Wisconsin, but you can't take Wisconsin out of the person. And he is a true, you know, just Midwestern Wisconsin person that we should all, whether you're a Badger alum or not, I can't think of a better representative for the state of Wisconsin than Kelly Call.
Keep Midwest nice alive.
Right? Right? Absolutely. So anyway, we thank Kelly Call and Jim McCarron's for joining us. And want to ask you, what is your favorite Norman Lear sitcom or favorite Norman Lear memory? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You could also text us on the Civic Media app. You could download it at on your Apple or Android device. Takes less than a minute. It's free, as Gail King says. That's what we call a deal on the Civic Media app. So text us. Go ahead.
Mom, if you're listening, because I told you we were going to be talking about this on the show, you better call.
Mr. Zommers' mother. That'd be fantastic. Give us a call, Mother Zommers. We'll get her a take. You could also reach out on YouTube and Facebook as well, where we are streaming in addition to X, the former Twitter, or as Craig Ferguson likes to call it, Twix, which is fantastic. Because you start looking through these shows. And again, we're asking your favorite Norman Lear television show or memory or impact. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. I mean, Jim talked about some of these episodes. You know, Maud, starring Bea Arthur, in the 70s, taking on the issue of abortion. Talking about Maud having an abortion and took that on. You know, Archie Bunker, you know, quote unquote kissing Sammy Davis Jr., a white person and a black person kissing on national television for the first time. You know, race relations. Yeah, in the Jeffersons, George Jefferson's son marries the daughter of a mixed race girl, a mixed race couple. I mean, these are still things we're struggling with, right? And Norman Lear was taking this on in the 70s. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phone lines. Our ongoing contributor and friend, Mr. Jeff Perry. Jeff, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Well, here's one that I don't think was mentioned yet. And just a very quirky, odd show that has a special place in my heart. Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman.
Oh, yes.
From the 70s. It was a spoof of soap operas of sorts. And was just too weird for network TV, and he couldn't sell it. So he had to put it in syndication. And I used to watch it late at night when I was in college, and I really got a kick out of it. So I thought I should call in and mention that. Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman.
No, that's great. That's one that, like you say, a little obscure. But and that was one of the great things, right, Jeff, that Norman Lear wasn't afraid to go there, as they say. He just seemed fearless as a writer, fearless as a producer. Believed in what he was doing, whether it was going to work or not. He just did it. I admire that so much.
Yeah. And the characters he was able to create. You know, Archie Bunker, of course, is the one everyone goes to because what an iconic character. Mm-hmm. But so many great characters in those shows, just well-written characters, well, and well cast in the actors that played them. Just fantastic stuff. He was amazing, no doubt. Yeah.
Absolutely. Jeff Perry, always appreciate you calling, my friend. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Would love to hear from you on your favorite program, your favorite episode of a Norman Lear show. Also did movies as well. Norman Lear passing away today at the age of 101. What are your favorite memories of Norman Lear and his legacy? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phones. Beautiful West Bend, Wisconsin. And Ben in West Bend, thanks for calling in. Ben, what say you?
Well, I'm going to go with All the Family, but I really like Maude, Edith's cousin, when she came during the, when they all had the flu.
Yes. That's a great, I literally just saw that maybe 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites. I mean, but All in the Family spun off like 3-4 different shows.
Yeah.
From, you know, that series. And my whole thing with Carol Connor, he portrayed the Republican, well, not all Republicans, but the majority of the super conservative, and they haven't really changed.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, all these years later, it's still the same. But he picks a moderate, you know, Democrat, like in Carol Connor, as this ultra-conservative, you know, this conservative.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but the funny thing is, though, my dad's mother was kind of like Edith Bunker.
Really?
Exactly the same. Yes. Kind of very nice person, but not, you know, maybe not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but, you know, very nice, very caring person. But, you know, they were all great. I mean, I don't think there was anything, you know, the Jeffersons was really good. Only thing I didn't care for the Jeffersons, they didn't bring back the original family of Jennifers, like they two different characters.
Right, right.
But besides that, I mean, they were all just really good. I mean, people say that you can't do that anymore on TV. I'm like, well, probably not, but it was good when you saw how average families, you know, how the families were changing.
Right. And I think Jim McCarron's former vice president of CBS, who joined us last segment, I mean, he touched on this. I think he's absolutely right that Norman Lear wrote in such a way that we are able to laugh at some of the worst things in our culture, be it bigotry, racism, you know, homophobia. But to look at it instead of a mean-spirited way, he wrote it in a way that we were somehow able to laugh at it but still get the message. That's an art. That's a craft.
Yeah.
Great call, Ben.
Yeah, you see it.
Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, you see it here and there, though, but it's not like back then. I mean, they were able to get the nitty-gritty out of it, but I think we need more of that just to be able to laugh at you, you know, just to be able to acknowledge it more.
Yep. Cannot agree more. Thank you so much, Ben. Great call, Ben from West Bend. What are your thoughts on the passing of television great Norman Lear? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let's go to Dick, listening here in Madison on WMDX. Dick, thanks for joining us. What say you?
Well, we absolutely all agree that CBS just kicked it out of the park.
as mm-hmm. a network in those days too. There was nothing close to it, I don't think, on ABC or on NBC. I'm just sorry, CBS wasn't much. Funny thing about, I loved All in the Family, especially the arguments that he'd have with Rob Reiner, right. You know, over Nixon and all the politics. But it's really kind of a strange thing. When it first came on the air, my dad didn't care for it at first. He thought it was going to pigeonhole working stiffs like him as all being that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it really took him a couple of years to,
really?
you know, get over the fact that, hey, they're not making fun directly of you. And because he was far from Archie Bunker.
Sure.
But he just thought it was a little odd at first. And he's like, eh, I don't know about this.
Well, and that was
like, come on, Dad, this is funny stuff.
All right. And that was one of the.
And then he.
Go ahead.
The thing is, he grew to see, too, that. He'd laugh at it, and once he got into it, he goes, you know, there's some people I work with that are Archie Bunker.
Right. But to your point earlier, that was one of the beautiful things about Norman Lear's writing, is that oftentimes, like in All the Family or whatnot, there would be some Archie's friends or coworkers that would kind of unexpectedly disagree with him. And it showed that not every
special.
Right, not that every working stiff, in your words, is an Archie Bunker. That there's, you know, a lot of folks that you know, they might not talk about it a lot, but they have different opinions than what you might think about people.
Sure, exactly.
I think it was a magical show. Really appreciate you calling in, Dick. Thank you so much. Have a great day. Thanks for calling in. If you'd like to join us, your reflections, your thoughts, your favorite episode of a Norman Lear produced show, give us a call, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You could also join us by texting on the Civic Media app. Always glad to have you along on either the app or the phone, 844-967-2789. Greg, also here in Madison, listening on WMDX. Greg, thanks for listening. We'll see you.
Hi. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. You're on the air, Greg. Go ahead.
Good. It kind of transferred from my phone to my car.
Oh, very good.
For some reason, the first one that came to mind was when Norman Lear wrote the episode where Sammy Davis Jr. kissed Archie Bunker. I don't know. For some reason, that was the first one that came to mind. However, there were just so many excellent shows. And you alluded to something about CBS, or I'm sorry, one of the callers said something about CBS back in the day. They owned, like, what was it, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday?
Saturday night?
I don't know.
Yeah.
They,
pick a night.
Lineup was right. Just fantastic all night long. And that included, like, you know, the Mary Tyler Moore Show and stuff like that, which wasn't Norman Lear, but
right.
All of those shows. They were just great, and they're still on. They're still syndicated.
Well, and that's the point, right, Greg, is that, and you know, Kelly Call, former president of CBS, Burlington, Wisconsin, they have talked about it in the last half hour, that you can, you know, people of a certain generation could still see that on, you know, obscure network or streaming and sit down and watch it, and A, it's relevant, and B, it's funny.
Right. I know. I am talking about my generation.
Yeah. No, I'm you don't have to tell your age. I'm 54, but I grew up in the 70s and 80s. And I think people that, you know, but again, I think there are younger people that see this and they appreciate the good writing to it, which I thought was fantastic.
Good.
Really appreciate the call, Greg. Thank you so much. If you want to join us, your reflections at Norman Lear, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Don't go anywhere. More on the other side. This is the Tolerable Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Snow brings thoughts of ways to stay busy in Wisconsin during the winter. And if you anticipate hitting the slopes, are you surprised to learn there are more than 36 ski resorts across the state? It ranges from Wilmot Mountain, which opened in 1938 in Kenosha County, to Mount La Crosse Ski Area with one of the longest runs in Wisconsin. Granite Peak offers 58 runs outside Wausau, and Wild Mountain Ski Area and its 7 lifts near Hayward. Now, do you know which of those resorts sits on the highest slope? The answer coming up. Recreational skiing started in the Midwest. The Lost Ski Areas Project reports the first documentation of actual downhill skiers happened in Beloit in 1841. So which resort sits on the highest slope today? It's Granite Peak near Wausau and boasts 400 acres at a 700-foot vertical drop. The fun and history of skiing is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is it.
Civic Media Radio Network, now 9 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock at the top of the hour, network news, followed by a quick check of weather that our friend and colleague Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct will be in with his great program. We appreciate him being on in hour one, talking about the other big story today. That is the great reporting by Patrick Marley in the Washington Post, talking about these Trump fake electors coming to a settlement and essentially agreeing that, guess what? Joe Biden won the 2020 election. Matt Flynn will have much more. He is an attorney. He'll give the legal breakdown to it and the latest happenings on this and much more. The front lines of history with Matt Flynn direct immediately following our show after the top of the hour. Right now, we are finishing up on the other big news story of the day, the passing of the great Norman Lear, great writer, television influencer, executive producer, no bigger name in TV than Norman Lear, passed away today at 101. Off the text line from WRCE in Richland Center, Ben weighing in from RC, we appreciate it. He says, quote, Archie Bunker was written to be an ignorant man who feared other races, but Norman Lear made sure that Archie Bunker was never mean. He wasn't always nice, but he was never mean, unquote. Appreciate that from Ben in Richland Center, listening on WRCE in beautiful southwest Wisconsin. I think, I mean, he's right. I mean, in a weird, odd way, if you watch the series long enough, Archie became kind of this begrudgingly, you appreciated his ignorance and saw that there was some good in the guy somewhere, but, you know, he always learned a lesson. And we as viewers got to go along and learn that lesson with him. And I think that's what really cut through, that each of us, whether we want to admit it or not, has a little Archie Bunker in us, meaning some prejudice, some ignorance. And Norman Lear, I think more than anything for me, made me examine and still does examine myself. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go to Stephanie in Madison. Stephanie, thanks for listening. What say you?
Hey, an RC, an original RC native, we're getting some good commentary here.
Sure.
I wanted to just follow up with Jeff Perry. I loved Mary Hartman. Louise Lasser was just, she was great. She was so droll. And the characters, remember Mary Kay Place?
Yes.
Hi there, baby boy. Oh, I loved that show.
Right?
Hey, baby boy. We had a song out with that. And there were some wonderful, wonderful shows, wonderful people, wonderful characters. And I don't know now if we could have some of the realistic language and terminology because of the, and sure. I think that political correctness and even quote cancel culture. So kind of, they started out with good intentions, but sometimes all kinds of trends can just go just a little, you know, too far times. Because I remember some of the terminology used, like for interracial couples and this kind of thing. And it was back, you know, way back when, and you could not really use that terminology now. But
sure.
On the other hand, things are kind of moving forward. But I did love that show, and I loved, adored Maude. Absolutely loved
Maude. Well, B. Arthur, you know, fantastic.
Yep. Did not like, wasn't crazy about Good Times. You know, the Esther role is awesome. That was one of the spinoffs. Could not stand, what was his name? JJ.
Oh, really? I love that character. I love that character.
Oh, I couldn't stand
Well, to each their own.
Idiot. And I think he had issues with, with it.
Well, Stephanie, I really appreciate the call. I got some other people I want to get to. But Stephanie, thank you so much. Stephanie, listening in Madison. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Your reflections on the passing of the late, great Norman Lear at 101. Go to Paul, listening up in beautiful Spooner. Paul, thanks for listening. What say you?
Good morning or good afternoon. I think that Norman, I think what he did was he took all the stereotypes. I'm going to Archie Bunker.
Sure.
He took all the American stereotypes that he could find and threw them all in one person. And I remember as a kid sitting and watching it, my father, grandfather, and all the family. And he's so stupid. My dad laughing and my grandfather laughing. But it comes to a point where as a young kid growing up, I didn't understand that that was a stereotype, and I didn't understand that was humor because I thought it was reality. I looked up to Archie. I looked up to my father and grandfather, but I would say later in life, I think that stuff hurt me because I had more than one time where somebody had to sit me down and say, hey, Paul, that's not right. What you just said is not right, because I was raised learning and laughing and having fun with this, but later on I found out that this was hurting people. And
right.
It took me a hard time. It took me a long time to get over that. And even to the point where it took me a daughter-in-law to sit me down one day and say, I'm not going to have you behaving that way.
Wow.
You're not going to behave that way. You
wow.
can't say that to me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't understand that that was a joke. It was humor. And I was growing up with it. And it took me a while to understand, you know, 20 years later, that that's not right. But
right.
I can sit back now and learn and educate others that I run into. But we got to be real careful. And I guess I was showing how impressionable television can be on people when you start putting things like together.
Yeah.
So great. That's just my thought. I respect the man. He was
right.
a great man. There's great story, great shows. But in reality, there's a lot of people that could have been hurt by not understanding what was going on there.
Appreciate your perspective, Paul. Thanks so much for calling in, Paul and Spooner. I want to end with a couple of things. This is Brian Stetler, I believe, writes for Variety. He interviewed Norman Lear a while back. He said this, quote, and this is what Norman Lear said to him, in Norman Lear's own words, quote, for a long time, I didn't think we were expressing a point of view. I really thought we were just wishing to make people laugh, serious people. We were dealing with serious subjects because there's humor in everything. Then I realized, now, wait a minute. I'm 52 years old. I have a point of view. I have children. I care about my country. I care about my family. I deal with real subjects and find the humor where they were. And finally, from Norman Lear's family today, said Norman lived a life of awe in the world around him. He marveled at his cup of coffee every morning, the shape of the trees outside his window, the sounds of beautiful music. But it was people, those he met, had just met, and those he knew for decades, who kept his mind and heart forever young. We wish his family all the best today. Our condolences. Norman Lear, thank you for keeping us all young. Stay tuned now. Next for the great Matt Flynn. Thanks to all our guests today. And thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, keep banging your drum.
Hump day!
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It's fully leaded education talk.
Hard facts with a humorous twist.
Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.